I was thinking, I guess last week when we were talking about prayer and the priority of prayer, I think was our title, and we got it from here in Colossians, so I'm going to go ahead and go there. But some of the things that, you know, what we talked about with the Apostle Paul and what he prayed for, and so I've been this week, I've been trying to put those things in my prayer and more when we talk about some of the things that Paul, he says, you know, from the time he had heard of their faith and their turning to the Christ through the gospel message that they had received. He said his prayer and his desire was that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I'm not going to re-preach the message from last week because, you know, hopefully you guys heard it. And if not, it's on the internet, so you can hear it again. But I think so often, you know, the more we can just receive God's word, it is our desire to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of him. Now, what does that mean and for what purpose? And so we're going to talk about that purpose this morning. I was thinking as we were singing some of the songs today, and one in particular when we were talking about holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. And from there we talked about righteousness. Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Now, you've got to understand where I came from with my background. You know, it was always important in how we lived our life. It was always important how we walked. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. But a lot of times when we, especially today, I don't mean to sound negative in any way, but so often we want something that requires nothing of us. We're okay with salvation and coming to church and believing in God at times, you know, and saying, you know, I'm a Christian and taking on that name. But yet the Word of God requires something of us. And, you know, and I believe in the grace of God, and we're going to talk about that grace of God and how, you know, when we talk about grace, we talk about unmerited favor. It's something that you did not deserve. And so this morning I was somewhat hesitant as I titled the message, but then I thought, well, it's in the scripture, so we're just going to go with that. And so our title, if it's not already up there, it's going to be Walking Worthy. Walking Worthy. Now, what I don't want you to get from this morning is when I talk about walking worthy, I'm not talking about that we go about earning our salvation. That is not our message. That is not my point. If anything, I want to do everything possible to avoid that. You cannot walk worthy in a sense of you will never earn what God has done for you. That you will never earn this. I'm slow to do this at times just because I don't want to offend, but sometimes, you know, when I think of something, a movie I watched is coming to mind. Well, this morning when I was thinking about that term, earn this, one of my favorite movies, and I'm slow to say that because sometimes when I say my favorite movies, a lot of things come with the movie and people go home and watch it and say, well, he recommended, I had to happen one time at work. I was watching the movie and I forget what it was now, but I watched it on TV. And, you know, it was pretty tame on TV, and I guess they'd taken out all the bad parts. I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, man, this is a good movie. He was a Christian believer, you know. I said, this is a good movie. I really enjoyed this. And he said, okay. He went home and rented it, or on Netflix or whatever, Redbox, wherever you do to get it. And he came back, and he said, you liked that movie? I said, yeah, it was a good movie. He said, that was awful. So the language in that thing was terrible. And so now I'm slow to do that. So just keep in mind, if you go out and rent this in Redbox, I watched it on TV. So if it's different in the Redbox, then I'm sorry about that. But it was the movie Saving Private Ryan. It's one of those movies that's on TV. I can't help but watch it. If I see it, Shell come downstairs and she'll say, you're watching that movie again? But I like it. But I remember the whole premise of the movie was that this group of men went out to save one individual. It was a group of men, I forget the number, maybe 10 or 15 men, they were sent out to save one guy. And his Private Ryan was his name. And as I watched the movie the first time, other men died trying to save this one man. They died. And the first one that died in the movie, I'm like, well, that just messed up the whole mission. Because now one guy has died trying to save one man. And so it went on a little farther. Well, for too long, there's only a couple of them left out of this 10 or 15 groups. But I remember that one of the actors, of course, most of us are familiar with it, by the name of Tom Hanks. I remember at the end of the movie, he's laying on that bridge and he's dying. He's been shot up and the airplanes are flying over and they're being rescued. And this Private Ryan leans down sort of at Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks whispers these words, earn this. And so the man kind of spent his life trying to earn what those men had done for him and how they had given their life. Well, I don't want you to think that way this morning, because you can't earn this. When we're talking about walking worthy, you will never do enough to earn what Christ has done for us. The price that was paid for our salvation, even though you may be sitting here this morning and may not even fully understand or comprehend your lostness or where you've come from. But as we study God's word and we see that, you know, we have been saved, we have passed from death unto life simply by believing and receiving the grace. And grace is just that. It is unmerited favor. It's something that done on your behalf that you did not deserve. Something that someone that's so far behind, matter of fact, another word for it is stooped. It's someone that has great riches, whether it be a king or a prince or someone with great riches, and he's walking through a city street, and there lays a beggar on the side of the road, and he would stoop down and give that beggar riches. There was nothing that beggar did to deserve it. There was nothing that he could do to ever earn it, but yet he just simply gave it. And that's what the scripture talks about when it talks about grace. It's the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. And what a great privilege it is to know that. So when I talk about this morning, when I'm talking about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, I'm not talking about earning it. But God does require something of us as believers. Amen. Now that's hard for me sometimes. When I want to preach grace, and I want you guys to understand grace and how I don't want you to live your life trying to under so much bondage and pressure that you're trying to earn what God, but yet God requires. There's a way that Christian should walk. There's a way that we ought to live our life. That's what we're talking about. We're simply talking about walking. When we use that term, so we're back over here in Colossians chapter number 1, and we're just going to read verses, I think maybe 10 through 14 there. Well, let's see. Let's stop at 12 for now. 10 through 12. Now remember what we read, for this cause, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is his desire. I want you to grow. It is my desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, for this purpose, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. It's his desire. He said that you might walk worthy, that you might walk the right way. How many desires is this morning, God, that we live our life and walk as you would have us to walk? Amen. According to your word. God does require something of us. It's not that we don't, we get saved and we just kind of say, okay, I'm done. No, God, when we, even as a Christian, I teach my children this way when we talk about being a Christian. You know, people say, well, is that one a Christian or is that one a Christian? And it's not something that we say, it's not just like another religion. So I'm Muslim or I'm Hindu or I'm Christian. A Christian is something someone else calls you. It's the title that's given to you, because when you began to walk as he walked, the thing about this new covenant that we've come unto, this new creation that we have in Christ Jesus, is that, as we've said over and over again, he says, I'm going to put my spirit within you. Amen. And so when we have the spirit of Christ in us, God, help that to come out, Lord. Let that be how we walk. Let that be how we live. And a new heart. He said, I'm putting a new heart within you. A new spirit and a new heart. It's my desire, it's my prayer in my own life. God, let what I do be motivated by your love that you've placed in my heart. Amen. I was talking to someone this week, and they were talking about a certain situation they were going through with their family. And there was some unforgiveness there, some things that had gone bad, and maybe merited, maybe unmerited, you know, for whatever reason, there were some hard feelings there. And so someone had told them, you need to be, as a Christian, you need to be the bigger person. That was the term that was used. And as I was talking to him, I thought about it, and I told him this. I said, you know what? I said, sometimes, you know, when we think at motivation, if that's our motivation, I'm thinking maybe we're missing it. If our motivation to do right is simply to be the bigger person, if it's just simply to do better. But as the book of Paul tells us over in the book of Corinthians, he says, if you do so much, many things, apart from love, it's nothing. Man, my point is this morning. God, let what we do for you be motivated by the Christ love that has been shed abroad in our hearts. And that be our driving force. Amen. We stand up for what's right and we walk worthy of our vocation, of our calling, not to say, well, look at us, look what we are, but because the love of God is so real and so working in our life that it comes forth out of us. Amen. Am I saying something that's a fairy tale this morning? Am I saying something that's unattainable? Is this something that we can't reach unto? I believe if we read the Word of God and we talk about the love of God and we see these men that have and women in the Scriptures that dedicated their life and their purpose and they were willing to even die for the gospel message. This was not something that was generated by their own commitment. It was not something that was generated by their own strength, but it was the Spirit of God alive and working in their own lives and coming out. Out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. So as I read these things this morning, as we talk about this walk that God has for us as believers, I want you to understand it's just not a case of, well, I've got to do a resolution. I've got to do better. I've got to make some changes in my own life. And that's all part of it. But what it really comes from, if we as believers will just simply draw nigh unto God, if we will call on Lord and say, God, fill me with your knowledge, God. Fill me with your Spirit, Father. Fill me with your wisdom. And let that be what comes out of our life. Now, there is a knowledge part of that. I in no way want you to go away from here thinking that we need to check our brains at the door. There is a learning thing. There is something that's why we read the Scripture, because we begin to put it into our mind. And we learn it, and that when something happens, that the Word of God comes to our mind. Amen. If it be when we talk about the love and we say, well, if I speak with tongues of angels and I have not charity, I'm just a tinkling cymbal, a clanging, how's that phrased there? Somebody quote that for me. Sounding brass and tinkling, thank you. All I had to do is get me started. A sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Lord, let your love be flowing through our hearts. Amen. Let it flow out. But Paul says this. He says, here's how I want you to walk. turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 3. I think we might have looked at this briefly, but 3 and 16, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, according to his, that he would give you, that he would bestow upon you. This is our prayer. How do we pray? I pray, God, that you would bestow, let's just be a little selfish first, upon me. Father, bestow upon me, God, according to your riches of his glory, according to his riches. Can you tell me this morning that the riches of God are never exhausted? Amen. That it never runs out. Paul tells us in Philippians, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Amen. So I got need. I need that 2015 car. I need to, that's my knee. No. Our knee. Father, my need is, Lord, that your love would shed abroad in my heart. Father, that you would fill me according to your riches. God, according to what you supply, that we can get nowhere else. This doesn't come from anywhere. This, we're talking about things that only God can supply. We're not talking about things you can get by other methods. That's the thing about salvation. When we talk about coming to God, we're talking about receiving of God things you can get nowhere else. There's people in the world, unbelievers today, that curse the name of God, that have new cars, live in large houses, that, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but I'm saying when we come to God, we're after the spiritual thing. Matter of fact, he says it this way in 3:16, that you might be filled according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The inner man. The part that can't be seen with the eye. We're not talking about this outward shell, as Peter calls it, his flesh suit. We're talking about in the inside, in the heart, in the mind, in the soul. Father, fill us with your riches according to your glory, of his glory. In our heart, that's what God is working on our heart, isn't he? God's changing hearts, changing our spirit. This is an inward work. Amen. In the inner man. Old Testament scripture talks about a group of people that would honor God externally. But he said, your hearts are far from me. I don't want any part of that. Isaiah said, their hearts are away. They're apart from you. Even Jesus warned over and over again in the gospel message when he was preaching to the Pharisees, he said, woe unto you that clean up the outside, but you don't worry about the inside. That's a paraphrase, if I can do that. But he, over and over again, he told in many ways, he said, you've got to concern yourself. My concern is the inside. Man, God spoke to Samuel. Samuel, I don't judge as man judges. I don't look on the outside. I look on the heart. That's my concern. That's my mode of operation. That's where I'll do my work, is on the inside of a man. You man? We used to sing this song, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Amen. Oh, what a change in my heart. Amen. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Amen. Father, work on my inside, that it carries on out into my outside, Lord. Work on my heart, Father. Help me, Lord, to that inner man that would be renewed. Back in Colossians. Might want to keep a bookmark there in chapter 1. We may bounce back and forth a few times. That you may walk worthy. You may walk. When I think of walk, I think of just steadiness. I'm not saying there may not be times we need to run, but when I think of a walk, the scripture could have used run. Runworthy, but it chose walk. And when in reference to our communication and our behavior and how we are to live our life and our conduct of one's life, he just simply chose a walk. And I'm glad for that, because, you know, there's so many people that get so concerned about the run that we forget to walk, that we forget just the steadiness. Man, Bill, if I can use you for example, I'm going to use you. Is that all right? I remember Bill and I used to work together, and we had people that worked with us, and, you know, they would, you'd ask them, when are you going to have something done? They'd be like, and I tell this on Bill often, but I don't know if I've ever told him, but we'd come to him on a job, a project we'd be working on, and Bill worked for us in the electrical department. We had other guys in there, and they'd say, when are you going to have this done? Well, I'll have it done in 3 hours. I'll be done in 3 hours. I remember we'd come to Bill. Bill, when are you going to be finished? It's going to take me 2 days. And, of course, you know, we didn't want to hear that. We wanted 3 hours. But Bill, it's going to be 2 days. And why? Because he was steady. He walked. Now, the other guys that said 3 hours, you know what it took them? 2 days. Why? Because they said, well, I'm going to run. Or I'm going to, whatever they thought they could get. It's going to take 2 days. So, steady. I think that's what God wants in our walk. He wants us just to steady. Walking. Consistently. Constantly. Not up and down, not tossed to and fro. This is the prayer that we read last week where he talked about. He says, I want you to be your foundation to be sure. Amen. Just here at Bread of Life Fellowship, we're not asking you to run. We're just asking you to walk. Just to be constant. Just to continue on in the work of the Lord. Just walk. Matter of fact, he tells us, we haven't read this yet in Romans, but it's over in Romans 13. You can turn there if you want to, but I can read it pretty quickly here. He says, let us walk honestly. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let us walk honestly. It means walk decently, as in the day. There's many places in Scripture that talks about things that go on in the night. Talks about things that go on in the cover of darkness. And, there's people that will walk out their back door, I won't call any names, and go out to feed the dogs in the middle of the day and not think twice about it. But that same person, when it's dark, they won't walk to the dog pen to feed the dogs. Why? Because at nighttime, you can't see. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what's out there beyond a certain distance. In the day, you can see. Well, Paul says this way. He says, walk as in the day. Live your life as it's going to be an open book that all can see your behavior. They can see your walk. You're not in darkness. You're children of the light. And so live your life. It's my desire that we can all stand up and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Not just one individual, not just a couple little groups here, a leader there or there. All of us walk uprightly before God and say, listen, the Spirit of God. I was reading the other day, earlier in the week, I guess it was, there, and I won't get all the names right because I'm somewhat familiar with the story, but I hadn't read it enough to remember all the names. But there was a time in the children of Israel when they were in the camp there. And, of course, the Spirit of God was moving upon Moses. And I think it was around the time that God was going to choose out some, like, 70 elders and bring them and take the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 because they were going to help him lead because Moses was under a lot of stress. And so God was going to take and give him some help of these 70 elders. And so they had all gathered together, and God took of the Spirit of Moses and distributed that Spirit upon those 70 men. Well, there were two that weren't in the group that day. There were two that was kind of off to the side, and they began to speak. They began to prophesy the word of the Lord. And as they were prophesying, other men began to hear, and I think maybe it was Joshua that come unto Moses and said, Moses, these men are over here prophesying. He said, maybe we should we stop then? Should we call them to cease from what they're doing? And Moses said, if you're doing this on my behalf, don't worry about it. Would to God that all men prophesied. Would to God that the Spirit of God was upon all men. And the first time I read that, one of the times I read it, my mind went back to the, I guess when Paul was giving instruction about giving the message in tongues. And he said the same thing Moses said. I would to God that you all spoke in tongues. Or I would to God that the Spirit of God would speak through every one of us here, not just one individual there. And so I think Moses in saying that was looking down through time and saying, listen, as the Spirit of God moves upon prophets, would to God that he would move upon all his people. Amen. You and I as believers this morning, we have the same Spirit of God. There's no diminished spirit in each one of us. They're the same God. Amen. Would to God that his Spirit would speak to everyone in this place, that he would direct our steps, that he would direct our walk. God. Show us how we ought to live. And here Paul says in Romans 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, knowing that our lives are an open book before this world, and we want to be an example of a believer. I love reading the story of Daniel in Old Testament scripture. When I read about the scripture, I think it says that, does it describe Daniel? Is it Daniel that describes it? In him, he possessed an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. There was an excellent spirit within Daniel. And in that excellent spirit that was within him, it caused him to be promoted to a certain point as over. As a matter of fact, I think he was over all the presidents or all the leaders of the time. And there were others that looked at Daniel and they despised him because of his God. And the scripture says it this way. I'm probably not quoting exactly right, but you can find it over in, I think, Daniel chapter 6. It talked about how that they sought to find fault with Daniel according to the kingdom. They sought to find a way. They begin to dig into Daniel's life. They begin to look down and dig deep and see what they could find according to the kingdom. Maybe they could find him skimming a little bit off the top. Maybe they could find him taking a bribe here or there from some of the people there of the congregation or of the land. Maybe there's some place where Daniel maybe. There's something there we can find that we can trap him. But it says they couldn't find anything. Couldn't find anything. Oh God, let that be us. Amen. Father, let us set the example. God requires something of us this morning. Amen. That's our walk. How are we living? It's not for me to examine your life. I'm not going to do it. You examine. You look and say, Father, let your spirit, Lord, let your love. Is your love not like what it ought to be? Pray. Lord, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, the scripture spends so much time, in Paul in his letters, and I know we've said this before, but if you follow his progression, we're going through the book of Romans right now in the on our Wednesday night Bible studies. And as we go through the book of Romans, we've been dealing, and we're around chapter 8 now, and it's been a challenge to all of us because it's going through, I used the word the other night a couple times, minutia. It's going into the very details of why, the whys and the hows of salvation. It's going down, okay, yeah, you're all under sin. This is how it took place. This is how it happened. Because of the disobedience of one man, all are under sin. But now because of the obedience of one, through faith in that one, we can be made righteous in Christ Jesus. So it gets into the details. And so it spends these chapter after chapter telling us who we are in Christ because of the work and the faith and the grace that's bestowed upon us. And to all that we say amen and thank you, God. But he doesn't stop there. We haven't gotten there yet. I'm kind of looking forward to it because it's a little bit easier to deal with when we get into the how we ought to walk. Very practical. So Paul spends a lot of time saying, here's who you are. He calls them brethren. Even in the church in Corinth, when Paul was writing some very strong words of correction, he says, brethren, here's how you ought to walk. So he says, here's who you are, but because of who we are, here's how we ought to live our life. Amen? We ought to walk honestly. Knowing that our lives, we are in the day, not in rioting. Just means disorder or sensuality. Drunkenness means intoxication. Paul says in another place in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I love that because when you think about how alcohol affects you from the inside out, and you begin to lose your what's the word, like your mechanics or whatever. That's why you see drunken stuff. Paul saying, listen, as wine would intoxicate a body, let the Spirit of God intoxicate us. Let that be what influences our walk, our talk, our speech. God, let your spirit influence us. Amen. Chambering, not enchambering, and wantonness. Let's just put those two together there. Chambering and wantonness. It just, the word chambering, it's a little hard maybe to get an adequate definition to what we may use. We don't typically use the word chambering, but the word actually means a bed. And wantonness just means filthy. So, I mean, we don't have to think too hard to understand what Paul is saying there when he talks about the chambering. It's actually the same word he uses over in Hebrews 13 and 4 when it talks about marriage is pure and the bed undefiled. So when he's talking about marriage, and the term bed there is actually the same word he interprets here, chambering. So you know, I don't have to get too blunt with that. It just means purity. It means that walk in purity. Walk not in wantonness, not in strife or anger, not in envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. Back in Colossians, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, not earn this. Amen. You're not going to earn your salvation. You're not going to do that. Paul tells us over in Romans, we've been studying that, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified, or we're made righteous, we're made right freely. Amen. Freely. That's why when we come to God, you don't have to bring your pocketbook. I don't care what they tell you on TV, you're not going to buy into this. You can't send me your $100 and God's going to give you full of his grace. You know what? You can come to God and be perfectly and completely broke. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Come without purse. Now we got an offering box back there. If you got an offering, you can give it back there for the church, for the working. But you know what? You can put all the money in that box you want to. It's not going to buy your salvation. Not going to do it. Amen. There's only one way, through faith in Jesus Christ. Freely. He says he justified freely. It actually means without cause. Amen. Not that doesn't mean, we've got purpose. We've got meaning. So we're not saying he justified us just so we would do nothing. No, it's just that you just can't earn it. I hear people, sometimes they preach and say, oh, God needs you. God needs this. You know what? I'm not sure. I didn't do this morning. Maybe I should have done it before I say this. But I'm just going to step out on a limb here and say, God needs probably isn't in Scripture. I didn't search it. If you can find it. He is sufficient. That means he's complete. Amen? Now, the only way you and I could be complete is in him. Amen? Some of you are searching right now. If you find it, tell me later. Amen? And then I'll get it straight next week. There's something I wanted to get straight this week that I heard that I thought about last. I know what it was. It was something I said last week. And this is a good time as any. I was talking about how that, when we come to God, we come to church, we pray. And I told the story about how that, I attend these other churches, and I named a couple churches and said, I left there and never prayed. And I got home, I got to think about that. I was like, well, I made those churches sound awful. I didn't mean to do that. If I did that, that was not my, I was actually putting the finger on me. It was my fault. It was not these, it wasn't New Life. It wasn't Calvary Chapel, those churches. It wasn't them. It was me. And so I got home, I was like, that sounded terrible. But I just want you to understand, it was me. I just began to sit and kind of let somebody else do all the work. Amen. But you know what? It's not that we are saved to do of nothing. We're saved. And then God says, as freely you have received, freely give. We receive from God, but it's not just to close it up. And that's, I guess that's kind of what I was doing. I was just saying, oh, look, just pour it in, Lord. But there's another old song that says, pour it in so we can pour it out. Father, we have freely received from you all things. Help us, God, to freely give it out. Praise the Lord. He says that you walk worthy. Walk worthy. Walk as is fitting or according to, as is appropriate. One place he talks about as becometh saints. That's the way we ought to live. That's the way we ought to behave. Back in Romans again, and I'm not going to hold you a long time. I did that last week, and I felt bad about it, so I'm going to stop here very shortly. Romans 16. Paul says about a certain individual by the name of Phoebe. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. She's a servant. Is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. We're looking at the first part, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, or as a godly sort. So I guess what we can get from that this morning is that as saints of God, which we want to take that name on, and we have through faith in Jesus Christ, we are made saints. We are set apart. We're sanctified. We're set apart for what? Why are we set apart? For work, for ministry. Receive her as becometh saints, or as a saint ought to receive, after a godly sort. Look in Ephesians. Just looking at a few places there where Paul, one thing you'll find as you read the letters of Paul and begin to study them, that he pretty much preaches the same thing wherever he goes. Didn't preach one thing in this church and one thing in another. He pretty much, when he's writing a letter or when he's going to visit, his message doesn't change. Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, or that you walk worthy of the invitation or the calling. How are we to do that? With all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring or making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And from there he goes into talking about the body. There's only one. There's only one body. One body. I mean, many church buildings, many congregations, many groups here, there, everywhere. There's only one body. Amen. One. One new man. Amen. One. Last place, Colossians 1, will be done. That you walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or made us fit. See, you've been made fit. You've been made meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been made fit. Don't walk around with your head down, I'm unworthy, I'm not fit. No, you've been made fit through faith in Jesus. Amen. Receive the inheritance, the full inheritance. Look what he says there, unto all pleasing. unto all pleasing. One place Paul talks about a soldier. He says, no man warreth, entangleth himself with the cares of this life, that he might please him that has called him. It is our desire to please the Father. Amen. Anybody know any yes men in your life? Got anybody, you might work with a yes man. Just somebody just says yes. You know, we say that in a negative sense. But you know, when it comes to our Father, it's okay to be a yes man. Amen. Father, send me. Here am I, send me. Who will go? Lord, I'll go. Who will work? Lord, I'll work. Amen. Father, help our walk, Lord. Help us to walk worthy. Walk as becometh the Christian, as a saint. Amen. I pray that. I'm still praying it in my own life. Lord, let your love be God. You know, sometimes, so often what we do, why we do it, we don't even, you know, even in working for God, in my own life, I say, God, why am I doing this? And well, what's my motivation, God? Well, let it be out of love. Let it be out of service. Let it be, amen, because of what you've done for me. And it's just, I know I'm not alone in this, but it's our desire, the saints here, it is our desire that you would be strong in the Lord, that your life would be blessed. Amen. When we say, bless, you know, God bless you, there's strength behind those words, isn't it? It's not just something you say when someone sneezes. But it's our desire that your life would be blessed, that the hand of God would be upon your life, and he would give you an abundance. As John, we read last week, my greatest joy is that my children walk. Not just know it. It's good to know truth. But John said, I want to see you walking in it. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. God, so thankful, God, that we can call on you and know that you hear us. And God, as we've read these scriptures here this morning, and myself included, Lord, we can see in many areas, God, that we fall short. And Father, it's our desire, God, that your love would just shed abroad in our hearts, God, and Father, that we don't do out of necessity, that we don't do just because we think we're supposed to do. But God, it's just a response that comes through the Spirit working in our hearts, God, that it's just that outward flow, God, that you bring it in, God, and that we could bring it out, every one of us here, as Moses prayed, that it was his desire that the Spirit of God would be upon all men and that all men would speak through the Spirit, and God, and that's our desire here today, God, that we would all work together in this great body, Lord, that you've created, this new creation in Christ Jesus, the new man that we have, that we have come unto, God. Give us strength, God. Let your word be in our heart and in our mind. Lord, may we have a hunger and desire to continue to put it in, God. And let it come out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. This altar is open. If you want to come pray, please come pray. If not, you can pray at your seat. But let's just take a few minutes and worship the Lord.